Sunday morning, I don't know if you remember. Anybody remember the title of the message last Sunday morning? It was, "What Will I Leave Behind?" And I talked about Abraham's grave and Lot's grave and all how people are going to remember you. And Jerry was here and came to the altar last Sunday morning and rededicated his life. He didn't know he had only 4 days to live. I mean, that was last Sunday morning and came to the altar. You don't know either. You don't know either. There may be somebody sitting here this morning has 4 days to live. See, you never think that young man, 31 years old, I think, healthy as a bear, been in the service, strong, and now he's home with the Lord. You better do what you need to do this morning, because you don't know when your last chance will be. That's why there's such a burden on us as we preach, because you never know when somebody's going to have their last chance. In John chapter 9, we read a story. And in this story, there's a man here who was touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to hit a couple of highlights of it here this morning. You listen carefully for just very, very short, since we went this long on these other things. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the story this morning. Hope it hits home to your heart. Verse 1 said, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is by interpretation, 'sent.' He went his way." Therefore, we need it quiet now. I can be quiet. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes open?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed, and I received sight." I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Point out to you several things in some of these verses here just for a minute. The Bible said here in this scripture, and it goes like this. There was a man sitting there, and people back then when he was blind had to sit beside the road like this and beg. And they'd sit there all day and have a little cup, or they'd have a little thing like a, used to drink water out of, like a, you'd dip her out, and they'd sit and hold out and say, "Alms." And people would come by and drop money in that little cup, and that's the only way they had to even eat. They didn't have welfare. They didn't have Social Security, government programs, or any of these things. And a lot of times that's the only way they had to live. The Bible said there in verse 9, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw this man." You know, I'm glad the Bible said it like that. That man didn't come to where Jesus was. Jesus came to where he was. I'm glad the Bible said he passed by. I can't read that scripture hard without thinking that night at Nebo Baptist Church when he passed by. Buddy, I'm glad, thank God, the Lord passed by that night when I was a blind teenager down there laying on my face. You remember when you got saved? Just think about it. Think about it when you got saved. They said it, song said, "His hand reached further down than I could reach up." Song said, I could not go to where He was. He came to me. Boy, that's shouting ground right there. I'm glad that He passed by. I'm glad He came by that night when I called on Him. I'm glad somebody said, how far is it to the Lord, preacher? He just, the Bible said, the word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus passed by. I'm glad that He did. I'm glad that He saw a man. You know, he could see Jesus, but Jesus could see him. Amen. What a blessing. What if we could see Jesus, but He couldn't see us? We'd be in a mess. We couldn't see the Lord, but thank God the Lord could see us. I want you to notice His blindness. He was blind from birth, just as we are spiritually. Before you got saved, you were blind. Now, His physical blindness is typical of our spiritual blindness. Have you ever heard anybody say, I just don't see what you get out of going to church all the time? Have you ever heard anybody say, I just don't see why you want to live like you live? Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I don't see what all the shouting and screaming and hollering is about? Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't see anything wrong with them movies he was talking about a while ago? Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't see anything wrong with drinking a little bit? Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't see anything wrong with smoking a little joint? Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't see anything wrong with it? And if you notice, they're always saying, I don't see, I don't see, I don't see, I don't see, I don't see. You know who can't see? Blind people. And the reason you can't see is because your heart is blind by the sin. Sin's like this, see? I can't see you right now because something's in front of me. And if I'd done like this the whole time I was preaching, I'd fall over, I guarantee it. But I'd do like this. I can't see where you're at. But did you know what you need to do? Have those scales removed. Sin blinds you. I just couldn't see why people went to church. I mean, when I was little, my mom and my aunt and my two aunts, they used to sing in church. They'd take me to revival meetings when I was real little. And you know, when you're a little bitty kid, you don't know what's going on in church. And I'd sit there, I'd see them old preachers get red in the face, and it's all like that, pulling it, and somebody'd go, woo, like that. And I'd kind of look at them, I thought, I wonder what they're doing. And you know, when you're little, you go around in the pew, and you put your face down in there and look up like this, and everything. But I could tell there's something going on around me. I knew there was something happening in that church. I knew all the way through my teenage, I knew that there was a God. I knew there was a God, but I thought, well, I don't see nothing wrong with this, and I don't see nothing wrong with that, and I don't see nothing wrong with that, I don't see nothing wrong with that. Boy, that night that I went down to that revival meeting, that night that God got a hold of me, that night, boy, something just like reached in there and pulled my heart out and wrung it out like a dish rag and squeezed all the sin out of it. I walked down to the altar, fell down on my face. I confessed everything I know to confess. I got up, went out, and after that, everything looked wrong. Everything looked like a sin. Everything you see through different eyes. It's just like the lights come on. It's just like you walked out of a dark room into a light room. That's the difference when you get saved. We try to tell people what it's like to be saved. People are in darkness. They can't understand. That's why I like the song the choir sings. Just come and see what He's done for me. Just come and try it. Let Him touch you. Let Him change you. You'll be surprised what a difference there'll be. His blindness. He sat in darkness. And His deliverance. His eyes were anointed with clay. Now, putting clay in a man's eyes, you'd think would make a seeing man blind. But in this story, it made the blind man see. This represents conviction. See, the Lord didn't just walk right over and just go deep and touch him. He made a little mud here, and He rubbed it on his eyes. And He said, you go wash in the pool over there and get your sight back. And the guy had to go do it. That was his part. The Lord don't just come up and save you against your will or without your will. He says, I'll do it. You got to be willing to come to me. And so that he said, you go down there and wash. He could have said this. He could have said, I don't want to go down there and wash. And the Lord said, okay, sit there and be blind all your life. It's up to you. I'm not going to make you see. Now the Lord tells you the same thing this morning. He said he puts conviction on you. He said, man, how do those guys get up there in New York and pray like that? How do these people get up here and shout and holler like that? He tells you, you can have the same thing. What are you going to do? Go down here and wash. Go down here and put your life on hold. Get washed. Get clean. You say, I don't want to. Stay blind all your life. It's up to you. You've got to come. You've got to respond. And the Bible said he washed and he came seeing. I tell you what, buddy, he come back up the road and he says, wow, is this heaven? And somebody said, no, man, this ain't heaven. This is where you live. That's a tree and that's a rock and that's a donkey and that's a camel and there's your mom and dad and all that. He said, man, why didn't somebody tell me it looked like this? They said, we tried to, but you was blind. You couldn't see. And you know, we try our best. That's my job as a preacher, is try to make you see how good it is to be saved. But you never will see until you come. You never will see until you get right. You never, hey, would some of you people agree and testify to the fact that you had no idea how good it was to be saved until you got saved? Then when you got saved, you thought, glory to God, I'm crazy. I should have done this a long time ago. Tell you what, man, I wouldn't trade places right now. Right now, I would not trade places with Brad Pitt facing. Right now. Right now. You say, oh yes you would. You are out of your mind. There ain't enough money in this world. You know, say why? Because I got something he ain't got. I can lay down at night and know my God. I'm at peace with God. I know there's a burning, blistering hell down below there and I'm not going to go. I'm not going to burn in hell. Brother, listen, we got something this world ain't got. I wouldn't trade places with Michael Jackson. Lord have mercy. Why would anybody want to take a bath in Clorox? Why would anybody? I mean, why would you try to make, listen, why would a man want to, you know what he's got? He's got something missing on the inside. I wouldn't trade places with old, I've been studying these movie stars lately and I'm just about ready to get them. Old Sharon Slutstone and Plastic Pam Anderson. Santa, good preacher. Amen. You know, I can see in here who likes old Whore Watch, that old show called Whore Watch, all these whores run around in orange bathing suits. I know who watches it right now, because you went like this, you went. You women are crazy if you let your husband watch them whores. It's on my heart. It's coming out, man. I'm trying to hold it till Friday night the 12th. What your husband will tell you, he'll say, well, honey, this you need to let me watch this because it really makes me love you better. You're crazy if you let him tell you that. This enhances my love life. You're a nut. You are a nut, man. You are a nut. Well, all he's going to do is close his eyes and imagine your Plastic Pam. I was not going to preach on that, but I tell you what, I'm glad, thank God, brother, we got something this world ain't got. Hallelujah. Amen. We're delivered, 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 delivered. Hey, you say, your husband says, I want you to be like Plastic Pam. Say, no, I'm real me. Amen. I'm saved. Amen. And I'll treat you right and I won't give you AIDS. And I'll do you right and be good to you. Hallelujah. Brother, we've got something. If they knew how good it was to be saved, they'd all get saved. They'd all get saved. He said, good night. I ain't never coming to hear you preach again. Well, I'm going to give you a good little preview while you're here this morning. His confession. His confession. You know what? The neighbors ask him. They say, hey, man, what happened to you? I believe you get right with God, people know you, you're going to know something different. Her man say, well, I've been saved 6 months. Your family know? Your mama know? No. Dad know? No. You might work? No. No. I wonder if you got saved or not. There's something different about you when you get born again. You mean to tell me that a man sits side road blind all his life, and then the next day he can come in and he can see everything, he can walk around, touch the no colors, feed himself, and people ain't going to notice a difference? Yes, sir. You better believe it. They said, "How were thine eyes open?" They asked him, they said, "What happened to you?" Boy, if that ain't a door open, I've never seen one open. What happened to you? It's a blessing. One time I was working over here back before we ever started the church. I was working over here at East Marion on a job. And I was over there cleaning these things like this while on my job. And this guy come up and I was just kind of, but you know, and this guy come up and he stopped me and said, "You got it made, ain't you?" You know how men do that work. He said, "You got it made, ain't you?" And I said, "Yep, sure do." Because nobody ever says that. Usually when somebody says, "You got it made," ain't you? Say, "No, you ought to try this job. Man, I got more, make more money than I do." He said, "You got it made, ain't you?" And I said, "Yep." Just kept working like that. And he said, "Well, what's the secret?" I said, "Oh boy, what a blessing." Now he asked for it, see? He asked for it. I wasn't cramming his throat. He said, "What's the secret?" And I said, "Having it made is knowing the Lord is your Savior and knowing your sins are forgiven." He went, "Oh." And I turned around and walked up. I mean, that guy looked like you do it. Bam! Hit him in the face. But I tell you, that's the truth. That's true. Listen, you know what money, you say, "If I was rich, I'd be happy." You know the only thing money can do for you? The only thing money can do for you is buy you things. And things can't make you happy. Because if you got a bunch of things, you got to hire somebody to watch after them. And then you got to wonder if they're cheating you or not. And all that stuff has maintenance, man. You got to keep up with all that junk. You say, "But I sure would like to try it." Okay, I'll tell you how you can do it without trying it. Go visit all the rich people in Marion that you know, if they are any. I'm sure, I reckon they are. Go and sit down and talk to them. And then come around here and talk to some of these people around here sitting on these front rows around in here. And you tell me who's the happiest. Happiness is to know the Lord. His assurance. You know what he told them? They said, "What happened to you? How'd your eyes get open?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I just sitting there one day." Now, he didn't say that. He said, "A man that is called Jesus." See, he didn't say, "I tried to do the best I can and one day my eyes popped open." He said, I went and joined the church and I didn't become a Baptist and nothing like that. He said, "A man that is called Jesus." When somebody asks you, "Are you saved?" you got one answer. You don't say, well, I went down to church, got religion. You know, plenty of people's got religion. You say, "A man that is called Jesus." If I ever ask somebody, "Are they saved?" and they say, "I'm baptized," I worry about them. If you stopped me on the street and said, "Are you saved?" I wouldn't think of the night I got baptized. That wouldn't even enter my mind. I hardly ever think about when I got baptized. If a man says, "Are you saved?" and you say, "Well, I've been baptized," there's something wrong in your heart, man. Getting baptized is just a little thing. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Right. It's just an act of obedience after you're saved. When somebody says, "Are you saved?" your mind ought to go back to that night or that day that you said, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner," and Jesus Christ came into your heart and saved your soul. If that's never happened to you, you're still in darkness. Your eyes need to be open. Amen. A man that is called Jesus. And then you know what they done to it? They wanted to throw him out of the synagogue. Isn't that neat? Here's the most religious people in town. "You got saved, huh? Jesus, get out of here." That shows you that the religious crowd is not going to be happy when you really, really get right with God. I'll tell you something, people. There's all kinds of attempts today. You know what Christian rock music is? Christian rock music is an attempt to make God acceptable to the world. And he never will be. This world never will accept the right way. They'll never accept the Holy Ghost. You cannot make this world appreciate the Holy Ghost of God. It runs opposite. It's an opposite spirit. The only hope they got is to get in, and then they'll appreciate the good things of God. His testimony. They said, "Where's he at?" And he said, "I don't know. What is it? He's a prophet." He had it exactly right. Jesus' ministry is prophet, priest, and king. When he was here, he's a prophet. Right now, he's priest, interceding for us. When he comes back, he'll be king. His execution. You fanatic. You carry this too far. You religious people, that's a good sign you're on the right track. If you catch it from your family and friends. Now you know that we've had this reunion for a long time. And we think that all of us, we know you're a Christian, but you can carry this religious stuff too far. We want all the family to get together next Sunday morning. It's Easter. And you say, well, I'll be over there at church. Amen. And they're going to get mad at you. Because they're going to want to eat at 12 o'clock. And you're going to just say, well, there'll be plenty to eat when I get here. Don't you worry. I'm going to go let my soul worship God and get my spiritual biscuits, amen, and worship God on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Then I'll come over here. And they're going to get mad at you for that. They're going to get mad at you. Here's what I used to do. All the family get together for Christmas. And you know, they call on me to pray. That's the only time they need you, when it's time to pray, you know. And they say, come here, Danny, and say grace. And I say, grace. Oh, you know what I mean. Bless the food. And I say, I can't bless it. I can ask the Lord to. Oh, come on now. I'm just trying to think, you know. You can't bless food, man. Who do you think you are? You can ask the Lord to bless it. And so I say, dear God, I give it time to get real quiet. And I do a little praying before I bless the food. Before I ask the Lord to bless it. I say, now you know everybody here, we don't know if we'll be here this time next year. God, we don't know how much time we've got. It gets quieter and quieter and quieter. Cast him out! You know, like, yeah, that's why they did this guy. You're carrying this thing too far. But then we notice his satisfaction. They found him worshiping Jesus, the man that opened his eyes. I just want to give you that man's testimony this morning. And I want to tell you, hey, if you're here this morning and you don't understand what all the fuss is about, you don't understand why all these hundreds of people are here this morning, sure ain't cause me. It's cause the man called Jesus Christ that'll open your eyes and give you something to live for this morning right here today. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No talking. This man went from darkness to light. From darkness to light. I feel like maybe God spoke to somebody's heart here this morning. We had people saved, I believe, last Sunday before, about lots and lots of times. People walk these aisles and get saved, have their eyes opened. You say, preacher, I know I'm here for a reason this morning. God's brought me here. It's not an accident. God dealing with your heart today. Easy. Easy. Deep down in your heart, you know, man, if I was to die now, I know I wouldn't be like Jerry did. Jerry come to the altar last Sunday morning and rededicated his life. Now he's in heaven with the Lord. My, isn't that something? It's hard to believe you can be in church one Sunday morning like this. Next Sunday you'll be in the grave. If the Lord come today, or you died this week, are you ready to meet Jesus, friend? Are you ready? If you're not, we're going to pray. We're going to give an invitation. You can come down here and kneel down on your knees. And the greatest thing that's ever happened to you can happen. You can have your coming. We've already got people in the altar this morning. Why don't you come and let him say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see that it's real. Change me. Touch me this morning. Our Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done. Please, oh God, please. Our Father, touch us, touch us, touch us. May the Holy Spirit of God touch somebody today like you did when you anointed that guy's eyes with a spittle. Put it on somebody's conviction this morning. And I'll praise you and thank you and we'll glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing this morning. God speaking.